from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Everything is going on in Central New York when it comes to this snow. We're on at 9:15, not 9 a.m. You know, folks, it's just, it's cold. There's issues. We're here, though. We've made it. We've done it. I am here to weather the storm with you, and that is all you need to know. We're here to weather this storm together. It is 3 degrees outside right now. Three. Trace. That's it. 3 degrees. Three. Single digits. None of that other stuff. It's, so that means negative when you're looking at Celsius. I don't know what that is. I tried to learn Celsius in school, and I didn't. So I blame my teachers. But no, it's not their fault. I had really good teachers in school. But it's very cold outside. But we're heating up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. That's what we're going to do. We're going to keep you warm. We're going to give you plenty to listen to. For all my Syracuse fans out there, you know what it's about this week. Pearl Washington week, Pearl week, however you want to name this week, Georgetown Syracuse week, whatever you want to say about it. And I feel very honored, very privileged, very blessed to have my grandmother have turned 100 yesterday, 100 years old, during Pearl week, which is awesome. So, you know, it truly is an amazing, amazing week. I'm going to be sharing, you know, some of my personal connection to Pearl Washington during the show today. But I feel very elated, very blessed, very privileged, very honored to have this be the tribute to Pearl Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora episode. And we have done so many episodes. We are over 700 on the app once everything is reloaded in here for you. We're taking all the three-hour shows and breaking them into 1 hour apiece. So it is not an easy thing to do, but it is what is being done. So we are I'm going through, and by we I mean me, I'm going through each one and breaking down these three-hour shows into one-hour shows from January all the way through December, so you can have an easier way to access the interviews and the segments and the pieces that you want to hear. And so bear with us here as on the app wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. I am editing through everything so that I can make everything easier for the listener, because that's what it's all about, is making sure that you can listen in and have a good time. And so today's show in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. Got to jump into this quickly as we got started a little bit behind here with this beautiful weather and the day that is today. We will start off with the annoying moment of the week, proudly presented by Carvel DeWitt. And then we will go into the tribute to Pearl Washington, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'll be joined by Otis Hill live. Then at 9:45 a.m., I will be joined by Lazarus Sims. 10 a.m., I'll be joined by Roosevelt Bowie. 10:15 a.m., you'll hear my one-on-one with Gene Waldron, one of his former teammates. At 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, he'll hear from another one of Pearl Washington's teammates, Sonny Spira. And at 10:45 a.m., you will hear from Dale Shackelford, who will be live on the show. So you're going to hear from many of the Syracuse alum in their thoughts on Pearl Washington. And, of course, as every Friday show goes, from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, Fantasy Football Friday for Week 15 will jump off here in the final hour of the show. And that will feature Mike Sofka from Central Florida and me up here in Central New York. I was in Central Florida for the last couple, and now I am back up here in Central New York. So you'll hear from the both of us as we talk with you about the NFL and fantasy football, everything you need to look out for, be prepared for, so on and so forth. For week 15, if you get to continue on through your playoffs, congratulations. If you're playing daily fantasy, well, then you know that you could just go through here. So thank you for all of your support and for all that you do with Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. And that is the Morning Menu, proudly presented by The Market Diner, 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. And you got to look out for the fast breaks during the show today as well. So first and foremost, as we do with every Friday broadcast, it's time to get into the annoying moment of the week, proudly presented by Carvel DeWitt.
Dan Tortora proudly brings you...
Is that for real? Are you kidding me?
The annoying moment of the week.
I don't know how to respond to this.
Presented by Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street. It's what happy tastes like.
You have to be that crazy. I guess so.
The annoying moment of the week, proudly presented by Carvel DeWitt, 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. It is the longest standing Carvel franchise in the United States of America, and in my opinion, the absolute best. And I thank them for all that they have done. They have been amazing with me. We will be in January of 2017 going into our 8th year of working together. They are my longest standing business partner, and they are a truly, truly amazing, amazing place to go, location. The ice cream is great. And for Grandma's 100th birthday yesterday, she got a Carvel ice cream cake. And not just any Carvel ice cream cake, she got a sheet cake, and it was massive, and it probably weighed 20 pounds, and it tasted absolutely wonderful, and it was made personally for my grandma. And I'm so, so elated. I'm going to put up a picture of it today. So elated because my grandmother loves, loves, loves Carvel ice cream cake. And if this is any story for Carvel, when she got the cake, she said to my mom, "Well, who made this?" And my mom said, "Carvel DeWitt." And my grandma said, "For who?" And my mom said, "They made it for you. Personally for you." And my grandma looked at her, and my grandmother started crying. At 100 years old, knowing that Carvel took the time to make a cake just for her, and she started to cry. Those are the moments that I talk about on the show. This is why I work with the businesses I work with. Because Carvel DeWitt, so on and so forth, there's so many good companies in Central New York that I am so honored to work alongside. And they create these memories, you know. They make my grandmother cry happy tears when she knows that somebody made such an effort for her as Carvel did to make the cake. And to Carvel, it's nothing to make the cake. You know, they do them every day, fresh handmade daily. And they put, you know, they assemble these beautiful, beautiful works of art that you can eat. And they touch so many lives. So to Jay Cartini and his team, you made my grandma cry in a very, very happy and appreciative way. And those are the memories I talk about when I talk about the memories of Carvel. And how, if you look back in my family pictures, there's a Carvel cake sitting there. And for my grandma's 100th birthday, there's a Carvel ice cream cake sitting there. Happy birthday, once again, G-Mama. I feel surreal, honored, privileged, blessed, thankful to God. There isn't a sufficient word or definition or anything that can state how happy I am that my grandmother is 100 years old and well. And not only 100 years old and well, but I mean, we're sitting yesterday and it was approaching 10 o'clock. We were playing the card game War, and we played one game. I won. We played another game. My grandma was winning, and we just kept playing. And I had people in my family wanted to go to bed. People, you know, people left. A lot younger than my grandma. I want to go to bed. I want to do this. I want to do that. And my grandma's looking at everybody going, where are they going? She wanted to stay up. She wanted to hang out. She didn't want to go in the other room. She didn't want to go to bed. She just wanted to sit with her grandson and play cards. And that is the woman who hasn't aged. And that is why she's gotten to 100 years old. Because somehow, some way, she has found love in the little things, appreciation for what is good, what is just, what is true. And her love has outweighed any person's negativity toward her, toward me, toward anything. And I love her for that. So happy, happy birthday to my grandma. And thank you to Carvel for the cake. Carvel DeWitt. 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. Make sure you go check them out right by Tops. The annoying moment of the week, proudly presented by Carvel DeWitt. For today, for this week, the annoying moment of the week. And here's the thing. There's a lot of different annoying moments that I could utilize today. There's a lot of different things that I could say. But the annoying moment of the week for this week has to be how friggin' cold it is outside. It's got to be that. People are feeling it across the country somewhere, somehow. But Syracuse, New York is 3 degrees. I came back from Florida from doing work down there. I came back on Tuesday. It was 80 degrees on the Monday. It is 3 degrees today. That means that my body has had a 77 degree switch, which is probably why my head hurts, probably why I'm not sleeping extremely well, probably why overall I just want to go back to bed and sleep the whole day away. 77 degree difference. For those of you that don't believe in global warming, it is smacking you in the ever-living head today. Because Syracuse gets cold, but holy mother of you-know-what, 77 degree difference between Florida and Syracuse. That is insane. Between St. Augustine and Syracuse. And global warming, it's gotten colder and it's gotten hotter. And the extremes have gotten wider. So maybe my annoying moment of the week is global warming. And on top of that is the fact that people don't believe it's real. Anyone that thinks that global warming is simply a Scientology hoax or something that doesn't make any sense is out of their mind. Absolutely out of their mind. Global warming is real. And it's not just a global issue. It's not just an ecological issue or a geography issue. It is a moral issue. It's a moral issue. Because I don't have kids yet, but I struggle with this. You know, do I want to have children and bring them into a world where Florida may be underwater, China may be gone? It's going to be a lot harder. They won't be able to breathe as clearly. Do I want to do that to my kids? You know, and I shouldn't have to think that. I should never have to think that. No person in the right mind should ever have to think, you know what, do I have kids because the world isn't that great right now? You know, and that's a great unfortunate. You know, and global warming is a part of that. But my annoying moment of the week is it's based around the coldness of Syracuse. Because people in Syracuse, okay, for those of you that listen to my show and support what I do, I believe that you are educated people and you are good people. So everybody listening, this is not you. This is the nomad, crazy people that don't listen to the show because they've obviously not gotten a wake-up call yet because they're still driving like absolute morons. Have you been on the road with someone who's fishtailing like a mofo and doesn't care? It doesn't matter to them. They do what they want to do. You're in their way. You're upsetting their day. I had somebody try and drive around me on Onondaga Lake Parkway yesterday when I could not see. It was like someone, it was like God was shaking a Christmas globe so fast, and then he put another globe in it, and then he put another globe in it because it was hazy, it was misty, it was foggy, it was snowing, and I could not see. And I had cars trying to go around me, cars going around other cars. I could not see a car in front of me or next to me or anything until it's almost there. That means you should be driving 15 miles an hour. It took me an hour to get to my grandmother when it normally takes 20 minutes. It took me an hour because I wanted to live. So to the people out there driving like insane lunatics, nobody wants to die on your watch. Nobody feels like going because of you. So if you want to drive like an absolute moron, just drive into Onondaga Lake. Just go there. Just go straight to the lake. Wait until there's no traffic and drive forward, because none of us need you to put us in this situation, okay? I do not want to see anybody get hurt, but for those of you that are desperate for an accident, just drive into the lake. There's plenty of things in there already. There's an airplane in there. There's a tire in there that my dog found a few years ago. Stop driving like idiots. Just stop. Stop. We have lived in the cold for a long time. Syracuse is not a stranger to snow. When the snow falls, if you're living in Syracuse and you've been here before and you've gotten in a car and you've driven in it before, don't act like this is your first time. Driving 75 miles an hour when it's snowing outside will kill you or somebody around you. Driving when you can't see will kill you or somebody around you. Just be careful. Just be careful. Okay? Because the driving in the snow in Syracuse has proven to me something that I never wanted to prove to myself. There are more stupid, uneducated, ignorant, idiot people that should not be given a license on this planet than I had originally thought. I thought that there was a lot of good drivers and some bad drivers, but apparently there's a lot of people that have never seen white stuff fall out of the sky before. Maybe they've snorted it, but they haven't seen it. And this is my thing. Please, for the sake of my wife, for my parents, for my grandmother, for my family, my friends, even my enemies, because I don't have enemies. Enemies choose me, I don't choose them. So flash, you know, here's a newsflash, enemies. I pray for you too, because you've chosen to be angry and I don't accept your gift. So you have to keep that gift, and that life sucks. So for me, for everybody out there, for all my listeners, for all my supporters, drive carefully. And when you see a moron person driving, give them their space, okay? When somebody wants to fishtail and drive like an insane lunatic, let them have their space. Because you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, and we don't deserve it. Let's just be safe out there. I mean, yesterday there was a car behind me, and I could see the van two cars behind me. I could see the van, and I could see my car, but I couldn't see the car in between us because it was so close to me that if I slid even just a little bit, they're going to hit me, okay? So, and to the snow plows, the time to get out and plow snow is probably within the 5 hours that it was snowing before you went out. So we're paying taxes for plows to go out there and plow snow. That didn't happen. We're paying taxes for roads to be salted. I didn't see that happen. We're paying taxes on all this stuff. So just please, go out there, plow the snow, if that is your job to do so. And people drive safe, okay? I love Christmas. I love snow. I love, 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 love Central New York. So I would prefer for there to not be more deaths in Central New York or accidents. Because I know I'm a good driver, and I know I could trust myself. But I want to be able to trust everybody else around me. So for those of you that need a wake-up call, here is your wake-up call on Wake-Up Call on WakeUpCallDT.com. A lot of wake-up call going on. Don't drive like an idiot. And if you do not care about your life or anybody else's life, then Onondaga Lake is welcoming you today. But outside of that, please be safe. Please be careful. No, I didn't just endorse suicide. I prefer that people just drive safely. Okay? Lights on the lake shouldn't be cars in the lake. Okay? That's all I'm saying. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. When I come back, we're going to start the tribute to Pearl Washington. That's going to be coming up in just a moment here as we get Otis Hill on the line to start my tribute to Pearl Washington.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Gear up with the real deal at Dreisig Apparel, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DreisigApparel.com. That's DreisigApparel.com. Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal. What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors always in stock on FanHands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Real fans wear Fan Hands.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. It is an honor and a privilege to welcome to the show here once again and to start off my tribute to Pearl Washington, and that is Otis Hill. Otis, how you doing today?
I'm good, Dan. Good morning to you.
Good morning. And first and foremost, Otis, to remember Pearl Washington, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of him?
New York City basketball. Pearl was a Brooklyn native, and he used to play in all the big parks back in the day, you know, Rucker Park and West 4th Street, so on and so forth. And I can just remember my uncles talking about Pearl being one of the best point guards they've ever seen.
And when you heard those stories about him being one of the best point guards your uncles had ever seen, how did they describe him to you? What did they say about Pearl?
And they said he was the first thing I remember is my Uncle Tommy. He used to always tell me, he said, Pearl had that ball on a string. He said he never saw anybody steal the ball from Pearl. He said Pearl was a wizard with the ball, and he could pass, he could score. I think they started calling him a magician at one point because he was so crafty with the ball.
And when you go back and you look at, you know, film of Pearl Washington or anything, did you ever, when they said that to you, when your uncles would say that to you, Otis, did you ever go back and watch, you know, watch a tape or watch a game, or did they have anything taped where you could go back and look at it and really see it for yourself?
ESPN Classic played a lot of Syracuse games back when Pearl was point guard. And I would watch just because I'm a fan of the game, and, you know, I always wanted to see how Pearl played. And there were some games where, I mean, he looked like he was so far advanced to some of the point guards, it just wasn't fair. So I used to watch a lot of Pearl's games on ESPN Classic Sports.
And when you watch those games, is there any game that sticks out to you? Is there any moment that stuck out to you that really just made you stop and say, this guy, you know, this guy was pretty good?
Oh, man. I'm pretty sure it was the Big East Championship against, I want to say, Georgetown, which is kind of funny because, you know, it's alumni weekend and Georgetown's coming to play. He was amazing in the Garden. I think he really considered the Garden his home because he would show his butt off. And, I mean, he would destroy whoever was in front of him.
speaking here with Otis Hill, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Otis, to have somebody that has passed away in the brotherhood of Syracuse men's basketball, and obviously paying tribute to him this week and in general, what can you say about the brotherhood, the fraternity that is Syracuse basketball, and just what this family means that includes yourself and Pearl and obviously everybody that's played?
You know, when I first got out of school, I kind of didn't really, I don't know if I want to say take it seriously, but I wasn't too into the brotherhood of Syracuse because I had so much going on. But now that I'm older and more mature and I see things for what they really are, the brotherhood is an amazing thing. You know, I speak to Derek Coleman on Facebook, Todd Berg and John Wallace, guys who were walk-ons, Lemuel Nelson is still a good friend of mine, Jim Hayes. It's so important because those memories you will never forget and you don't want to forget. So the brotherhood has really become so much stronger, especially in the last five or six years.
And what was it in the last 5 or 6 years that you feel like has brought it even closer, this brotherhood of Syracuse basketball?
I just think all of us getting together, taking the time out and coming up to Syracuse or meeting in New York City or going out to California. You know, guys have started to really come together and just rehash the old times. You know, you start seeing the young guys play and whether we critique them or not, you know, we're always supporting them. And I've noticed in the past, with social media, it's been a lot easier for us to keep in touch and stay in contact.
Otis, Georgetown, it's obviously the big game this weekend as we talk here on Friday, December 16th. Georgetown is coming up, and by the time that my show ends today at noon Eastern time, it'll be exactly 24 hours until the game. What is it about Georgetown that just makes Syracuse, Georgetown, that rivalry that you can't beat? What is it about this rivalry?
I think you had you got two juggernauts. You have John Thompson, who was a larger-than-life figure who a lot of players respect and who know, and a little bit fear, maybe fear a little bit of Big JT. And I think you have, on the other hand, you got the master, Boeheim, the statistician, the X's and O's guy, and you had two Big East giants who, for the most part, got the best players in the beginning of the Big East era. So I think that rivalry between those two coaches filtered into the players because I can remember playing Georgetown AI and just going out there and just playing like I was playing football. You know, being aggressive, being tenacious on D, and just wanting to win that game so bad because the rivalry was so strong. And you just kind of fell into it, whether you like Georgetown in high school or Syracuse, you just fell into the rivalry.
And like you said, you used to play games like you were playing football. When you were on my show last, we discussed that. We discussed how you feel like, you know, that junkyard dog, that physicality that knocks somebody around is lacking right now with Syracuse basketball. You want to see more physicality. So, you know, just bring me into that because really, true Syracuse fans love that. And I used to call those, I mean, that's what I call, I said Pittsburgh-Syracuse is a football game, Georgetown's a football game, UConn was a football game. So, you know, go into that because you live the football game.
Right. You know, for me, being 6'8 and playing against 7-footers and 6'11, I had to do whatever I could. So sometimes I had to be a little bit physical. And, you know, sometimes it got out of hand. It wasn't too bad. But nowadays, I just see, you know, I see these big guys and they want to be guards. And sometimes it's okay, but that's not the true essence of being a post player. For me, being a post player is controlling that middle. Sometimes you got to throw an elbow or two. Sometimes you might have to, you know, give somebody some stitches. That's just a part of the game. You know, Mike Hopkins, who was a tough player, I learned from him. I watched Hop bleed, and to watch him not even want to come out of the game was something that stuck with me before I even got to Syracuse. So to see players like Mike Hopkins and to dive on that floor and
So you took it away from Mike Hopkins. He's the one that, that's pretty amazing because, you know, you're like you said, 6'8", big guy center inside, and to watch Mike, a guard, bleed in a game is what really made you, gave you that fervor, that fire.
Yeah, it was funny because my coach and I were watching a game, and I forget who we were playing against, but Hop has, he was bleeding from the right side of his eye, and it became a famous picture where blood was trickling down the side of his face, and I was like, see, I can go to war with somebody like that, because I know he's going to lay it all on the line. My coach was like, well, that's something you've always had, so don't get rid of it. So being physical just is kind of an advantage, because a lot of guys shy away from physical play. And for me, that's an advantage. So I can take any advantage I can get, I'll take it.
Absolutely. And I believe that the record states that you are 4-3 all time against Georgetown. So your teams at Syracuse had the better end of Georgetown, and you left with a winning record over the Hoyas, so I think that's a good thing for you.
Right.
So I think that means that you won. Yeah. So you won 4 out of 7 football games. That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Some of those games. I used to have to guard Odell Harrington, and he was tough because there wasn't a lot of 6'10" left-handed players.
Yeah.
You know, and when your brain is programmed to play a right-handed guy, and all of a sudden you got a pretty big lefty who can play, it kind of throws you off. So me and him had some really fierce battles in the paint. And he was one of the centers I could say that sometimes he got the best of me, and I couldn't stand it because he was from Georgetown. I used to burn me up.
Well, at the end of the day, you can let him know that your record was better than 500 against Georgetown.
I definitely take that. Definitely take it.
All right. Well, as always, Otis, I appreciate it, man, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. So be safe and be well, and I'll talk with you soon.
All right. You too. Stay warm in that snow up there.
All right. Yeah, 3 degrees. Thanks.
So, oh, man.
All right. Take care, man.
You too.
See ya. That coming from Otis Hill, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. And coming up here in just a moment is one of his former teammates, and that is the man, Lazarus Sims. He'll be coming up here in just a few moments. After this wake-up call, fast break, we'll be getting into the continuation of a tribute to Pearl Washington with Lazarus Sims.
This is a wake-up call, fast break.
For all of us that have always wanted our favorite restaurant to come to us, it's now a reality in Central New York with It's a Utica Thing. With Utica Pizza Company bringing their wonderful recipes that they've handed down through generations to you, to your event, to your business, to your home. It's a Utica Thing. Proudly bringing Utica Pizza Company on wheels to your location. Call 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946. To bring Utica Pizza Company to your doorstep with It's a Utica Thing.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCall. DT, in a continuation of a tribute to Pearl, which you will find here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora. You just heard from Otis Hill, and now one of his teammates, Lazarus Sims, has joined me here and has joined me in the frigid air of Syracuse, New York. Lazarus, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Dan. How's it going?
Doing well. And Lazarus, you know, to be around this program as long as you have, to have come back to Syracuse, you know, Pearl obviously came back, was living in the Liverpool area. I got to spend a good amount of time with him recently before he had passed. And obviously, you know, you've gotten to see him in this community. And just what you can say about, you know, the last few years of Pearl's life and just what he meant. And if you have any moments that you'd like to share about when you got to be around him.
Ambassador for sport, for humanity. He always treated people with grace and respect. He always looked at the brighter side of things, and just his smile and his persona just had a calming effect on people who were around him. He was just a, you know, great person and good person to be around.
When you call him this ambassador, what was it to you? I mean, I understand, but what was it to you about his personality that just made you stop and say, there's one Pearl Washington?
Like I said, just the way he carried himself, it wasn't, as great as he was, it wasn't look at me. It was, you know, I'm here, I'm a tool for whatever the plan God has for me, and he used it and let people use it to better themselves, and it wasn't an ego thing with him. You know, I didn't meet him when he was younger. I met him after he came to Syracuse and started playing at the Dome, and I've never seen the egotistical side of people who were as famous as he was with him.
What to you, when you met him for the first time, did you expect there to be a little bit of an ego, a little bit of, you know, a swagger to him? Did you feel like that was going to come across before you had known him? Did you think, okay, you know what, this is Pearl Washington, I'm going to meet this guy, he's going to be full of himself? Did you think that before you actually met him?
No. Like I said, knowing where he came from, knowing how he grew up, I didn't expect it, but I was prepared to say, okay, this guy's going to be, you know, maybe have a little ego and big time, like, you know, not talking to people or not being interactive, and he was the total opposite. He was more humble than, you know, when I met people before him, pros and things like that. So to have seen that happen and didn't meet him, you know, it was kind of on guard, but it was quickly dissolved, and we had a great relationship.
This coming from Lazarus Sims, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Lazarus, what would you say Pearl Washington did for Syracuse basketball? I mean, he was there before you got there. Some people call him the pioneer. Some people say that he made the Big East. Some people say he made Syracuse what it is today. What do you say?
I can't say he was the pioneer, but I can say he was the beacon. He was the light. He was the one that brought it center stage, because you can't forget those guys of Louie and Bowie show and the Dave Beans and the Bushers and the guys that came before him. But he was the one to pretty much bring that bright light to the stage, and it's been carried since, and he's always been one of those guys. When you think of Syracuse, you think of the Pearl, because he was that bright light, and it wasn't egotistical bright light. It was, I'm here, we're here, we're going to be here for a long time.
As a point guard for Syracuse, did you ever try to emulate anything that you had seen from him on tape? Was there anything about Pearl that when you went to Syracuse, you're like, you know what, I'd love to do that, or I want to include that in my game? Was there any piece of him that carried into your time there?
Well, there's a lot of piece of him, because the way he got to the basket, the way he maneuvered his body, the way he made his teammates feel that they were accomplishing great heights and great feats and made them better than, you know, than they were, or better than what other people thought they were. He instilled that with his presence, and I thought, as a point guard, that's what you did. It's not how many points you score. It's about your teammates around you. It's about making them feel bigger than they are, and then they'll run through walls for you. They'll set those big screens. They'll block those shots. They'll defend you to the end of the earth. And if you've seen any of Pearl's games, you saw his teammates was his defenders. His teammates rallied around him. His teammates supported him.
Speaking here with Lazarus Sims, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Lazarus, with Pearl and this ongoing tribute, I mean, this is Pearl week. Here on Wake Up Call, we've done a lot of different things here on the show and on wakeupcalldt.com, and we'll be re-airing the video of the tour that I got to take with Pearl to a bunch of different locations a year before he had passed. Georgetown is connected, obviously, to this week, and this rivalry is a rivalry that at your time at Syracuse, you went 4-4. Right 500 with them, win a game, and it really was every season 1-1, win a game, lose a game, or vice versa. So what can you say about
almost every game in the Big East?
Yeah.
The Big East was tough then.
So what can you say about this Georgetown rivalry and just how deep it is and what it means?
It is what it is, man. It's that you go to Syracuse, you hate Georgetown. You go to Georgetown, you hate Syracuse. You can, actually, you cannot be an athlete and hate Georgetown because you go to Syracuse. Like, it's just embedded in, I think, and when you sign that paperwork, I think that's part of, once you sign it, that DNA that flows into your bloodstream or something is you hate Georgetown. It is weird. It's funny, but it is what it is. Like, even the football team, like, Georgetown doesn't have a program that plays our program, but the football team doesn't like the Georgetown people, and it just is what it is. And even people that come from the D.C. area that go to Syracuse don't like Georgetown, so they come to Syracuse, and they know that's the rival. And it's just, it's one of those things that's going to transcend time and generations, and it's unfortunate, but it's fortunate that the young people don't understand the difference how we were in the Big East, because they won't be able to see the continuous battles of yearly, two times a year, battles, and sometimes three with the Big East tournament used to happen, so they won't get that. But, you know, hopefully Saturday will show them a glimpse of, you know, what it was and what it will be and what it can be.
Lazarus, John Thompson is known in this rivalry for historically saying Manly Fieldhouse is officially closed, and then Syracuse in their last Big East game, which was their last Big East game against Georgetown, I should say, which was in the Big East tournament a few years back at Madison Square Garden, Syracuse had the last laugh and defeated Georgetown in their last game as Big East rivals. So Thompson got to shut a door. Boeheim got to shut a door. What can you say about the essence of this rivalry? Is it the greatest Syracuse rivalry in history?
I think so. Just the magnitude of those two gentlemen alone, with Big John being at the helm as long as he was, and with Boeheim being there, you watch their battles, and you watch their war words, but then you also watch their personalities. They were actually friends. They actually, you know, talked, and they actually confided in each other with certain things about the Big East, and they were supportive of the Big East. And they were supportive of that rivalry, so, you know, so it was Hatfields and McCoys, but it wasn't a detriment to the league or a detriment to the schools. It was a good vibe and a good rivalry.
Is there any rivalry, the Pitts, the Villanovas, the Pittsburghs, Pitt, Villanova, UConn, St. John's, do any of those carry even close? Or is it Georgetown first and then a far, far second? Is there anybody that feels anything paralleling Georgetown, or is it that much of a difference?
It's not even close. It's Georgetown first and everybody else is second. I could say probably when I played in the Big East, it probably was Georgetown, St. John's because of being in New York and New York team, and then Connecticut. In the also had his battles with Nova, with Riley there as well. But we had a hard time beating those guys too.
And Lazarus, before I let you go here in a tribute to Pearl, what do you carry with you the most from Pearl? Something you saw, something he did on the court, off the court, a conversation you had, a moment that just kind of stuck out to you. What about Pearl do you take with you today?
It's tough because there's a lot of things, but the one thing I take from him is Pearl asked you about you. He didn't ask you about how sports was teaching you, how sports was, you know, maintaining you, how basketball was going, how work was going. He would ask you about you. Like, we would have conversations, sit down, he'd be like, how you doing? Like, you know, work's going well, family's good. Or when I was coaching, yeah, you know, we're doing this, Bam's doing that, the team's doing that. He'd go, no, how are you doing? How are you doing? And so his mystique and his charisma and the mystery of Pearl, people won't understand unless they really had a deep conversation with him. And his conversations, even if he talked about sports, it was more into the soul of the person. Like, how are you doing?
That's very true. I mean, I can't say of any time I sat in the car and talked with him, sit next to me or being somewhere, he only talked about himself or his time at Syracuse if I asked him about it. But if we were just talking, you know, he was, you know, Dan, you know, how's everything been? And thank you so much. And I appreciate this time with you. And this means so much. And he's helping kids. And he's, I mean, I don't think I ever remember Pearl saying, hey, Dan, remember that time I was awesome? You know, I feel like it was always about something else. You know, it was always about something. Everybody wanted to ask Pearl about Pearl, but Pearl didn't just talk about Pearl.
No.
You know,
Pearl was a man of the world. More life than basketball.
Absolutely.
He accepted that role.
He did. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that he'll forever be missed, but he's never far away.
Not at all. I'm actually sitting at my desk looking at a picture of him on my board.
And is that a picture that of you and him, or is it just one that you cut out that you put up? What picture is that?
No, it's just one of him. Actually, a few people who knew how deep we knew each other sent me a whole bunch of pictures of him. And actually, this is one of him in his jersey, and he's looking off into, like, the stands or something, but he's looking off. It's not one of his piercing pictures. It's not one of his menacing moves. It's one of him just standing there, and it's, like, almost an amazement of probably the crowd or what's going on around him, but it's the picture that's not about him.
Absolutely, and you're closest to him. In closing, how would you describe just what he meant to you and what he continues to mean to you?
He means a lot, and I'm close with his son, and his son comes up today, and we're going to, you know, so I got that privilege to be close to his family. So it means a lot because he taught me, you know, and in watching and speaking, like I said, it's not about you. It's about what you can do for other people and the mark you can leave that affects other people outside of your sport. It's about your character. It's about your soul.
And obviously that connection with his son, I'm sure, is just as meaningful to him as it is to his son as well. And, you know, if I could say anything about it, any connection to you, personally for me, has been nothing but a good one. And, you know, I feel very honored to talk with all of you that I get to talk with, and Lazarus, you know, you're good people, and the city of Syracuse might have had a good point guard in you, but they have somebody that today is fighting a battle of bringing people together that is bigger than any sport you've ever done, and I appreciate you for that.
Thank you, and thank you for the kind words.
All right, I'll talk with you soon, okay?
All right, Dan, you have a good day.
All right, you too. Take care. That coming once again from Lazarus Sims. We'll take a fast break, and we'll continue a tribute to Pearl with Roosevelt Bowie coming up next.
This is a wake-up call fast break.
The Penn and Trophy Center on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, has been making memories for Central New York for over 60 years. It has the trophies for your teams, and when you walk in there, it's so much more than just that. When you walk into the Penn and Trophy Center, you are immersed in the reality that anything can be customized, anything can be engraved, whether it's for your anniversary, your wedding, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, whatever you want to do with that memory, that watch from grandpa, or that bracelet from mom, or that wedding ring that's been passed down through your family. If you want to get something engraved with a memory to last a lifetime, the Penn and Trophy Center, 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, where memories are made and where memories last a lifetime. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, your premier sports pub in downtown Syracuse, Central New York. This is your home for all Syracuse sports home and away games, as well as the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, and so much more, NCAA everything. Go to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, the hub of every Central New York sports fan. That's where you go. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. Great food, great drinks at a great price, and a great atmosphere. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street, etched in the history of Syracuse. Right in the heart of Syracuse.
The Syracuse Silver Knights, your premier indoor soccer team in Central New York. It is great entertainment value and affordable fun for the entire family. Great seats and ticket packages are available by calling 315-303-7261 or go online SyracuseSilverKnights.com. And don't forget to tune in to Wake Up Call with Dan Totora for your chance to win tickets to a Syracuse Silver Knights home game.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. I'm very honored, very privileged, in a tribute to Pearl, somebody who I got to get close to right before he passed. I got to spend a lot of time with him. I obviously didn't play basketball with him and, you know, didn't have that life or that privilege, but I did have the privilege of sitting next to him at shows that we did for Wake Up Call, sitting next to him at golf tournaments, and sitting next to him in probably my happiest moment with him was sitting in the car with him and just telling myself that this is, you know, an amazing and crazy moment that you got to remember forever, that, you know, how is this happening that I'm sitting in a car with Pearl? I feel the same way about the man that's on the show right now, and that's Roosevelt Bowie. And we have talked a lot over the years, and we haven't spoken a ton recently here, and that's all on me because this man is always available and always good. So, Rosie, let me start off first and foremost by saying you're always in my thoughts and prayers, and it is my job and due diligence to make sure that we talk more often.
It'll be my pleasure, Dan.
Now, first and foremost, sir, the Syracuse basketball history that started with the likes of you and Louis Orr and Dale Shackelford and Marty Head and so on and so forth. What does Pearl Washington mean to this history? He came after you. What did you see when you were at Syracuse, and what did he turn Syracuse into, in your opinion?
Well, you know, as a Syracuse player, we know we're only there for four years at a time. So it's kind of like, you know, Rudy Hackett passed the torch to me, and the torch gets passed from player to player when Dale graduated. You know, he just, you know, he left it up to us to uphold the name of the university and the team and to do the best we could do. And when my relationship with Pearl is kind of different because I met Pearl when I came back from playing, so I was out of the country during the time when he played. So I got to know Pearl as a person first, and then after I'd been around him for a while, I went back and I Googled some of the games and watched him play and realized what an incredible player he was.
And when you went back and you Googled Pearl Washington, what was the first thing that you remember popping up? What was the first thing that you saw that made you stop and say, "Damn, this guy's pretty good"?
You know, he was fearless. He was like he scored the majority of his points in the paint. So, and that's against whoever, and made no difference who it was. He was coming in there, and he was coming hard, and he was like a man playing with boys.
And being that man playing with boys, what did you see that made you feel that? When he was playing in a game, what made everybody else around him look unprepared for him?
You know, I would have to say it's his game preparation. I mean, he was physically stronger. He was an incredible ball handler that allowed him to take advantage of his athleticism in getting to the basket.
Speaking here with Roosevelt Bowie, Syracuse Orange men's basketball alum. Rosie, Pearl, after, like you said, you were overseas when he was playing, so you had to come back and Google him and look him up and see him. When you finally got to be in Pearl's presence and meet Pearl, bring me into that moment of shaking his hand and what you remember.
You know, when I met Pearl, he was probably the most humble, laid-back guy, you know, and I would have never thought that, you know, Syracuse, you have a lot of great players come through there that I've been privileged to play with and others that I would have been privileged to know later. But Pearl was probably one of the most humble players that I've, you know, you would never guess just to meet him all of the accomplishments that he had at such a young age.
When you speak on him being so humble, you know, that's, I've been around Pearl, and I've obviously had plenty of opportunity to speak with him, and I just said to Lazarus that I don't remember a time where I heard Pearl talking about Pearl unless I asked him about something. You've described that too, you know, with him being so humble. Did you expect that when you shook his hand, or did you think, you know what, this is Pearl Washington. This guy is going to have, you know, maybe he'll be cocky, maybe he'll have that air about him. Did you think that going into it? Like, I'm expecting this guy to have a little bit of an attitude, and then you meet him and you're like, oh my God, he has no ego whatsoever. He's just happy to be here.
I didn't have that preconceived notion because during his formidable years of playing, I didn't know him. I met him during the summer, and I saw him during the summer when I came back home, but I was only home for a few weeks, so I was trying to get back with my family, stop in and say hello to the coaches, and then, so I didn't have that preconceived notion, so my first opinion of him was, when I would ask him to, no matter what I asked him to do, he didn't say, his words were like, I asked him to come to a golf tournament that I was doing in honor of my mom, and he said, would you like to come? He said, absolutely, what time do you want me to be there? And he didn't even play golf. And he came there and he socialized and he had a great time with people that I grew up with. So you put him in any situation and he makes the best of it.
What do you remember about Pearl most? What's the thing that sticks out to you? When I say Pearl Washington, what's the first thing that you think of?
Well, I was just talking to my niece. I've got a niece who started going to basketball games when she's like, she was 2 years old. And she's like a diehard Syracuse fan. I'll be bringing her with me today down to Syracuse to the game. And she said, I remember it was someplace that we went, and the seats that they gave us, I couldn't fit in the seats. They're right down close to the floor. So I took her down there, and I put her in the seat. And Pearl was there, and I introduced her to Pearl. She knows every Syracuse player for the past 35 years. And so when I introduced her to Pearl, she goes, oh, Pearl Washington. And then, you know, and he was very humble and shook her hand and everything. And I said, well, I got to go back up. He said, Rose, you're going to be sitting here? And I said, no, I can't sit there because I can't fit in the seat. And he said to my niece, don't worry, I got her back. And I was like, Pearl, don't tell her that. She's already a diehard fan. She might lose it. And we laughed about it. But it was, that's what popped to mind. I was just thinking about it the other day. We're talking about it.
The hard part, you know, of Pearl passing is, you know, the younger brother in the Syracuse fraternity. You were there first. He came after. How hard is that as a Syracuse brotherhood to not only see any of you pass away, but to see someone who you're their elder not be on this earth?
You know, no matter what player it is, that they're part of the family, you know, just brings up something in your throat, but particularly Pearl, because I spent a lot of time around Pearl as and I never went to one of his games, so I spent a lot of time around him, just getting to know him as a regular person. And that's what I remember about him, and that's what you just want to keep people. There's not enough of them around, so you want to keep them forever.
And in keeping Pearl forever, what do you take with you in your daily life? Is there anything that sticks out that you can say, you know what, I'm happy that this is something I could kind of put in my pocket from Pearl?
You know, it reminds me every day that nothing is promised to us, and treat people how you want to be treated, and just reinforce things that I was taught when I was growing up, and just enjoy the days that you have on this earth.
And lastly, for you, Rosie, and I apologize for bringing this up because I know the rivalry and the wounds of it. Your time at Syracuse, I believe, was 0-3 against Georgetown. What can you say about Syracuse-Georgetown and this rivalry and just how hungry it makes Syracuse whenever they face a Hoyas?
Oh, listen, I have no idea what I look at things from a totally different standpoint. From a player's standpoint, I played 118 games, and I wanted to win 118 games, so I don't qualify one team above another team. I think that was something that, I didn't even know that the comment that that John Thompson made after he lost the game until I came back 18 years later, so it didn't really mean that much to me as far as that. What happened, what was said, because realistically, Craig Shelton and I played on the USA national team together, and he played for Georgetown, and then he went on to play 5 years in Italy, and he pretty much had dinner Thanksgiving together three times a week. So it is, I think it's something that the media created. Did I want to beat Georgetown more than anybody else? I wanted to beat everybody. I was an equal opportunity employer. I didn't want anybody to win against Syracuse.
So the rivalry that's been etched in history of Syracuse-Georgetown, your rivalry was with whoever was standing on the other side of you that day?
Every single day.
Well, that's fair enough, and I think that has led to where the record stands in your time at Syracuse. And as always, Rosie, I appreciate your time. I look forward to having you back on very soon, and obviously I look forward to seeing you at the game against Georgetown, and as always, God bless to you. I know you're traveling, so just be careful, and I hope you guys get up here safe.
Thank you very much. Take care now.
All right, take care. That coming from Roosevelt Bowie. We'll take another fast break, and then we're back in a tribute to Pearl. Coming up next is Gene Waldron.
This is a wake-up call. Fast break.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.